Today, we will be the second in a series of our relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, every year, God wants us to review His plan of salvation for mankind through the observance of the holy days. The observance of the holy days is our time with Him, just as the weekly Sabbath is to be time spent with Him. We should be having also our daily fellowship with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. I will do a quick review now of what happened the last time I spoke. You recall there was many different facets of the gospel message. One of those is the good news that there is a God, which we looked at last time, who in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, as we found when we read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. They created us in their image, which we read about in verse 26 of that same chapter. We are now in the flesh, though, with a potential to become like them, spirit beings. We then went to the book of John and read about the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. After that, we read some prophecies concerning this Father-Son relationship that we have in God's Word. Today, though, Scripture will establish that, for our title here, we are to fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We are to fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So if you would like to be with me and follow along, please turn to the first epistle of John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. We will continue through to chapter 2 and verse 11. So we start out here in 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John brings out that, yes, he was there. He was with Jesus Christ when Christ was here in the flesh. And he's declaring now the difference between God the Father and Jesus Christ. And notice what he says here in verse 3. We have seen and heard. We declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. So we are to have this fellowship with Father and Jesus Christ, just as John has experienced. We have to notice that if we have this fellowship, we will have joy in our life because we fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And then John goes on. This is the message which we have heard from Him, meaning Christ, and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness. So we have this here, that Christ is light of the world, that we read, if you recall, back in last time as well, when we were in the Gospel of John, how Christ is the light of the world. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we have to practice what our leader, Jesus Christ, says. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we have to walk in the light. He's pointing us to following Jesus Christ. He is our teacher. He's the one to follow. Fellowship, this word that's used here by John, number of time, is Strong's 2842. It's from Koinosis, probably not pronounced right, but it's that way. You can look it up, 2842. It means partnership, that is, participation or intercourse or benefaction. I had to look up benefaction, did not understand what that was. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says benefaction is the act of benefiting, a benefit conferred especially, a charitable donation. So we have this fellowship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ, and there's benefits for us to do that. So continuing on then, in verse 8 now. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So yes, we do sin from time to time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what a wonderful Father and Savior we have. If we confess our sin, he forgives us. That's one of the benefits we have if we have this relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Continuing on, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Then John, you know, being senior here, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins. In other words, he's our atoning sacrifice that he has done for us. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this, we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. You know, we have the fellowship with Christ and the Father. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we have to walk just as Christ, as John is bringing out here. We imitate our teacher. We follow our teacher. Continuing on, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Yes, Jesus Christ is that light. He should be the light in our lives as well. Because with him, through his spirit within our lives, we know how to walk, how to follow, if we look to him as our teacher. Then notice what John writes. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, talking about loving our brothers and sisters. If we don't, John says we're walking in darkness because Christ loved us all. His example, he forgives all who repent of the sins that we have. So we have to walk. Now, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 34 through 35. John chapter 3 and verse 34 through 35. So we've seen what John said, that we are to follow Jesus Christ. He's our teacher. Now let's see what we find here in John chapter 3 and verse 34 through 35. The one talking here now at this time is John, the one who was the baptizer. He is the one making reference to Jesus Christ. And he says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." In other words, Jesus Christ had the full measure of God's Spirit within him, poured out. And John the Baptist is making mention here the difference between God the Father and Jesus Christ. Continuing on what he says here, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So here then, John the baptizer making mention of Jesus Christ and how we have to believe in him, believe his words, and do those things. So point number one, as I've been up to introduce it, we have to follow our teacher. We've had two examples, both John's, bringing out we have to follow Jesus Christ. Now let's notice Christ's own words as we find in Luke chapter 6, verse 39 through 49. Luke 6, verse 39 through 49. And Jesus is speaking. He says, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye?" So, looking here, if we are not following Christ, we can fall into the ditch. Sin, bring trouble to ourselves, but we need to look to Christ. Then he brings out that he is the teacher and we are to follow him. And then he talks about, once again, the relationship between brothers and sisters in his family. Continuing on, verse 42. "Oh, how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove that speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." So we have to evaluate ourselves. Go to our Heavenly Father and ask him to work within us. "For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." "But why you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" So Christ is saying, if you call me your Lord, you have to do what I say, for as we read next, "Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like." Christ is going to describe individuals that come to him, hear what he says, and does them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation of the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Referencing here himself, Jesus Christ. But he or she who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So we have to follow Christ. He's our teacher. He's the one that we look to so we can have fellowship. We want that fellowship with Jesus Christ in our lives so that we do not fall in the ditch, that we are not led blindly by what's out in the world at this time. We look to Jesus Christ. So we've read here that we are to follow our teacher, our Savior, our Master. So we've read that, knowing that we are to follow Jesus Christ. How does this relate, though, to our fellowship with our Heavenly Father as well? Let us see Jesus Christ's example of the fellowship with the Father. Remember, he's our teacher. He's the one that we are to follow. He's guiding us, leading us. He's our Master. We said we would follow him. So now let's notice point two, what it was that Christ had this fellowship with the Father. Prayer. Prayer. We're going to be reading scriptures regarding Christ praying to the Father. So let's notice that example over in Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Mark 6:45, and this is occurring after he had just fed the 5,000 fragments to people. And we find here, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. So Christ, our leader, went to pray to the Father. This reference here also to the book of Mark, where that relationship between Jesus Christ and the Father. Mark 1:1, it says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So here he goes to pray to the Father. And notice the reference to that. He is the Son of God, but he still went and prayed daily to his Father, because it says over here in Mark 3 and verse 11. Mark 3, chapter 11, in case anyone had any doubt whether Jesus is the Son of God, for it says here in Mark 3, verse 11. Well, verse 10, about Christ, he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed upon him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. So even the demons knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And if anyone has any doubt what he was here on earth. Some people doubt that he was the Son of God when he was here, but even the demons knew that he was the Son of God. Still here in the book of Mark, chapter 8 and verse 31. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. And Christ says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So he began to teach those individuals that he was the Son of Man. Most often when Jesus did refer to himself, he did use the phrase, he was the Son of Man. So we have seen Jesus, our Savior and teacher, born in the flesh to Mary, his mother, also born as the Son of God. We see that he went and prayed to the Father. He had this fellowship daily with God the Father at all times. Let's notice Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Beginning here in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we have a Savior, the only one that could be our Savior, because he too was in the flesh. He was tempted, as we are tempted, but yet without sin. He did not yield to sin. How is that possible? We had this fellowship with God the Father to give him assistance daily to not to yield to sin. So whatever sin we might think we can't overcome, we can. With God's Holy Spirit within us, we can overcome it. Because Jesus didn't yield to any sin, whatever it was, as we heard in the sermonette. You know, didn't have his ego, didn't lust after the flesh. He prayed to the Father, yield to the Father. Now, let's look to Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. We read, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, this is Jesus Christ praying, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say thus, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. And notice, it does not read that you should pray, my will be done. We're talking, fellowshipping, conversing with the Father. Christ said, your will be done when we having prayer with the Father. You know, it's much more than the world scope of asking for our Father's intervention in others' lives, like when someone is sick, for healing, protection that we need. But did we fellowship today already with the Father? As part of your personal petition, been to the Father today, Father, help me so I can be an aid to someone I fellowship with at services today. Father, guide me to that individual that I may give them words of encouragement to lift them up. And we prayed today, Father, help me to understand the scriptures we are going to be turning to. Have we had that? His will be done. Did you ask for the protection on the road going to and fro? Well, these are things that we can ask for. Your will be done. Let's notice what Christ said here in John chapter 8 regarding your will be done. I mean, do we do that? John chapter 8. Do we ask the Father daily, guide and direct me today, Father, in doing your will in my life? Help me to see what your will is in my life today. John chapter 8. And remember, we're looking at our leader, Jesus Christ, and we'll read what he says here. In John chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Once again, he is the light that we turn to look at. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I am come from and where I'm going. You know, they were blinded at this time. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness. No, there's two. Christ bears witness, and the Father, who, as we read, said, this is my beloved son. Then they said to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father, for if you had known me, you would have known my father also. Because they were rejecting Christ's words. You know, if they accepted Christ's words, you know, they would know that he was speaking for the Father. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, because he says, where I go, you cannot come? Christ, knowing their thoughts, says to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So once again, we have to believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them in the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak those things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." So Christ is saying, he goes to the Father. He seeks the Father in prayer and does what the Father asks him to do while he's here in the flesh on the earth. As he says here, I do those things that please him. Is our daily life doing those things that please God the Father and please our teacher, Jesus Christ? Now, if you would, turn with me to some more words of Christ over here in the book of John, chapter 14, and verse 6. John chapter 14, we'll begin verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So we have to recognize that Jesus is our Savior, as we have read scriptures already regarding that. John 14, now in verse 10. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." So then we have here Christ and the Father, one. They have fellowship one with another. Let us have that fellowship as well. Dropping down now to verse 20 through 23. "At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So if we love keeping the commandments of Christ, we will be loved by our Father. And as we learn more and more, do those things that Christ would want us to do, and God the Father will even open up more to us. Remember the scripture, we're to grow in grace and knowledge. More will be revealed to us as we submit to God and the Father. Continuing on, verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him." Wonderful news, good news, if we obey. God the Father, through his Spirit, comes to us in Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn, if you would, over to John chapter 17 and verse 1. John 17, verse 1, is a time when Christ is with the disciples there at his last Passover here on earth, where he says, Jesus spoke these words, lifting up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you." So he has this prayer that's been recorded. we see here, dropping down verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world won. We see then Christ will be glorified. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. In other words, these individuals that became disciples, or Christ was called, or them, because directed by the Father, those individuals that he chose. Now verse 20 through 26 of John 17. John 17, where we find a prayer of Christ on that evening, not only for the disciples that he's prayed for, but also for us that will come along later. As he says here, beginning in verse 20, I do not pray for them alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Wonderful words that we have here of Jesus Christ. Might say this is the last scripture for the message today. You know, the words of Jesus, where he's asking the Father to bring us into fellowship with the Father and with him. Continuing on here, 24, I desire that you also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and that they may hold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Yes, this love that the Father has for Christ, that they have for us. Christ was willing to die in the state for our sins so that we can be there in that family, as we read back in Genesis 1, verse 26. Created in their image, but with this potential to be in that God family. So to have fellowship with a Father and Son, we must follow our teacher's example and communicate with prayer. And remember, when we pray, it's your will be done, Father, not my will. Your will be done in my life. Your will, Father, be done. Let us do the things that we've heard from God's word here in Scripture, keeping the commandments. If we have this fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, we will have our house built on the rock, Jesus Christ, and stand as the storms come our way.